We'll be in Proverbs chapter 3, looking at, I'll wait till that gets pulled up there again, looking at Benefits of Wisdom part 2 this morning. Last week, part 1 of Proverbs chapter 2. Get this turned on too. Too much going on. There we go. As I was thinking of the benefits of wisdom, how valuable this wisdom is that comes from God, as I was doing some reading this week, and in 2010, there's a retired Air Force major named Forrest Fenn. Forrest Fenn, in 1988, he was diagnosed with cancer. He was an author, he is an artist, and diagnosed with cancer in 1988, and he took all of his valuable riches. He had some nuggets of gold, he had some jewelry, and he put them in a treasure box, and he hid this treasure in the Rocky Mountains north of Santa Fe. Now, that's a pretty big area. But then he wrote a book, and in this book, he left hints as to where this treasure was to be found. And so you'd read the book, go through, are my eyes flashing? Okay. All right, he's just advancing. So there, he left hints in this book, and there's one particular poem in the book that gave 9 hints where you could find this treasure. Thousands of people bought the book looking for these hints to find this treasure. In fact, at least 5 people died looking for this treasure. Now, they're looking for a treasure. In fact, a guy found it I think the book came out in 2010. He found the treasure in 2020, so it took a decade to find this treasure. It was found somewhere in Wyoming in the Rocky Mountains. So he finds this treasure. He sold the contents for $1.3 million. And you think of, I mean, how many here would like to find that? Don't lie. Put your hand up. You're in church. You'd like to find that. Okay, we'd all like to find that treasure. You think of the value. Okay, $1.3 million. But this guy, the guy that found it, only one could find that treasure. All these people looked for it, only one could find it. And then when that treasure's found, what happens to it? You know, I just did my mom's funeral a couple weeks ago. And everything that everything you collect on this earth, everything you store up, an earthly treasure, it's going to be gone. And so people pursued this treasure and went after it. Some lost their lives to find it. How much more valuable is the treasure that comes from God's Word? And we're going to look at that again today, the benefits of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 3. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into this. Father, thank you again for your Word. I pray today, Lord, that you would speak to us through your Word, that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and our lives, that your word would change us today, and perhaps we've been pursuing earthly treasures. Perhaps our focus, our attention has been elsewhere. I pray, Lord, today that we'd leave here understanding the value of wisdom that comes from you, that we would listen attentively to your word, that we would pursue this wisdom that comes from you, and then, Lord, that we would reap these benefits that we'll see in the text today. Lord, our desire is to glorify you today, and I pray that that would be the case, that you'd be honored, you'd be exalted. Pray that I would be not get in the way, just a conduit through which your word would be given today, and again, that you'd be exalted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is really, it's pretty easy to break down. This is just a kind of a screenshot from my Logos program as I walked through this week and highlighted it. This passage of Scripture gives us commands and then the benefits of obeying this command. So the yellow is the commands, the blue is the benefits. And so if you walk through this, you see that first command, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Okay, there's a command. And then 4, here's the benefit. If you do this, if you don't forget my law and let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Second command, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The benefit, if you do this and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, another command, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. The benefit, he will make your path straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The benefit, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Another command in verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. What's the benefit? Verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Another command in verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord nor detest his correction. Why not? Benefit, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. So it's pretty easy to break this down, but we'll walk through one by one, look at the correction or the command, and then the benefit, and just expound on this a little bit. So the first command, do not forget my law, but keep my commandments. There's your first command in this text. You could summarize this, know God's word. Do not forget my law, but keep my commandments. Know God's word. In order to forget something, you first have to what? You have to know it. We need to know God's word. It goes back to the message last week, to listen attentively to the word of God. Memorize it. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have that welcome PowerPoint kind of scrolls through, and every week up there I have put to memory. Have you noticed that? Anybody? You guys see that welcome slide that comes through? It kind of gives it's what's in your bulletin, but the addition there is put to memory, and I usually pull a verse from the portion of Scripture we're going through, and it's a challenge for all of us to put this to memory. Why would we do that? I've been putting that together and nobody even sees it. I can't believe it. But you're going to look now, right? You're going to see that. Put it to memory. Write it down. It's a challenge for you and for me to memorize God's word. If it's there, put it to memory. The verse this week, if you didn't see it, it's verses 7 and 8 of Proverbs 3, which says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's the passage I challenged you this week to put to memory. And so don't forget God's word. Put it to memory. Retain the instruction of your father. Retain this. This is learned ethical behavior. And we've seen this a couple times already in the first two chapters. Listen, receive God's word as truth and apply it to your lives. Live out these probably memorized principles that we have before us. And what happens? You're going to reap the benefits. Don't forget my law. Keep it. Learn it. Memorize it. Apply it. What's the benefit of that? Length of days, long life, and peace. Length of days, these are the short time units. If you don't forget the law and keep these commandments, one of the benefits is length of days. It's the abundant life. A long life, that's pretty self-explanatory. That's the larger countables. But really, these two things, length of days and long life, could be summarized with peace. If you don't forget the law and keep God's commandments, if you know God's word and you apply it, there's going to be peace, an abundant life in fellowship with your Creator. And it ties really closely with the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Of course, we know for the Jew, the land was a place of blessing. And before I go to the next command, Proverbs 3, I remind you that this is the norm. Okay, so I'm sure each one of us probably know someone that really did apply God's word to their lives, but maybe died young. And so you look at this and think, well, that's not, how can this be true? And so this is the norm. There are people, we live in a sin-cursed world, there's people that die at a young age, there's sickness, there's disease. And so even if you apply God's word, even if you live for the Lord, you could die young. This is a principle. But you will live a relatively peaceful life. You'll live an abundant life in fellowship with your Creator if you do this. Give you a quick illustration. How many here knew who Matt Lemon was? There's a handful of people who knew Matt Lemon. Now, Matt was 5 years older than me. Okay, he's one of six children born to Bob and Letha Lemon. And three of their kids had cystic fibrosis. Matt was the oldest. And Matt, 5 years older than me, Matt could never play sports. He was, you know, very sickly, not a very healthy young man. And so Matt died. I would have been 14. Matt died at age 19. Matt was a godly young man. Matt carried his Bible around. His Bible's marked up, and he served the Lord. He loved the Lord. It was very evident in his life. Matt only lived till he was 19. And you look at this, well, a long life. Well, and again, that's the norm. But I tell you what, in Matt's 19 years, Matt had a relatively peaceful life. He had great fellowship with the Lord because he kept God's law. You compare Matt's first 19 years with my first 19 years, and God's given me 54 years up to this point, but I'll tell you what, Matt had an abundant life those first 19 years. I did not. Because I wasn't keeping God's commands. I wasn't hiding God's word in my heart. So the promise here, Matt had an abundant life. It was 19 years, it was short, but he had an abundant, peaceful life. So do not forget my law, but keep my commandments. You have length of days, long life. You're going to have peace, fellowship with God. No matter how long, how many years those are, you will have fellowship with God. You'll live in relative peace. Second command here, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Apply God's word. Hold fast to truth. Let the virtues of truth and mercy always be part of your life and always be part of your decisions. Let truth and mercy influence every choice you make, every movement you make. What would be the opposite of mercy? Okay, how about, you know, maybe selfishness? You could say, giving what we actually deserve, so you could say justice. But how many here are thankful for God's mercy? Do we extend mercy to others? Is mercy part of our lives and how we interact with other people? Don't let mercy or truth forsake you. Selfishness, harshness, arrogance, pride. Be a person that displays mercy and holds fast to truth. What's the benefit of that? Benefit we see in our text, you're going to find favor with God and man. So let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in our two relationships as we walk this earth, our relationship with man, our relationship with God. The benefit of not letting mercy and truth depart from you is you're going to find favor with God and man. You're going to have good reputation. You're going to have social honor. Now, are we to be men pleasers? We're not. But shouldn't we strive to have a good reputation in the community, among unbelievers? I mean, we should strive to have a good reputation. We're not men pleasers, but we are to strive to have that good reputation. And as we please God, we will have that good reputation. If we live respectable lives, we'll be respected in the community. You know, in Matthew 22:36, Jesus was asked a question. They said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And in Matthew 22:37-40, here's Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I have a question here in my notes. Do we show mercy? Do we show love? Do we hold fast to truth? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. We're going through the book of Mark, and Jesus came over, he crossed the sea with the disciples. These people came and followed him, and he looked at those people with what? Compassion. Do we look on people with compassion? Jesus looked on people with compassion. Are the virtues of mercy and truth displayed in our lives? Look ahead to Proverbs 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." There's that reputation. One of the qualifications of church leadership is to have a good report of them that are without. And so this command, let not mercy and truth forsake you, the benefit, you're going to find favor with God, and you're going to find favor with man. There's a third command here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Take God at His word. Trust in the Lord. Take Him at His word. Don't lean on your own understanding. And we could really cluster these next commands all together, but we'll take them one at a time here. But this trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. So that's entirely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just part of your life, but with all your heart. So we're to trust Him entirely. We're to trust Him exclusively. Trust in the Lord, not leaning on my own understanding. We're to trust Him extensively with all our heart. So God is the source of wisdom. He's the one that provides protection. He's the one that provides security. He's the source of wisdom. Trusting in our own understanding, our own wisdom. Have you ever thought irrational thoughts? You ever do that? You ever think irrationally? Yeah, we do at times. And oftentimes our perception isn't reality. And so our perception's wrong. Our thinking is irrational. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We can't lean on our own understanding. We can't be wise in our own eyes. What's the benefit of trusting in the Lord instead of leaning on your own understanding? He'll make your path straight. He'll make your path straight. Does this mean that you go through life without trials or a road without potholes? If you trust in the Lord, are you going to face trials? Absolutely. In fact, James says, count it all joy when you face various trials, because God will use those trials. It works patience in our life. He uses trials to shape and mold us. So the straight paths are from a bird's eye view. We don't always see that, do we? We don't always see the end result and what God is doing. But if we trust the Lord, He'll make our path straight. So it's a bird's eye view, not a worm's view. There's a Portuguese proverb, and it says, God writes straight with crooked lines. What's the promise in Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So this isn't saying you're going to have a life without trials or hardships. That isn't the case. But He'll use those. As we trust Him, He uses those to shape and mold us into the image of His Son. He uses those trials. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. The benefit, He's going to make your path straight. Command number 4, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be a know-it-all who does everything his own way. Look to God's word, seek counsel from other believers. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, where there is no counsel, people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Seek counsel from other people. Go to God's word. You have a decision to make? Pray about it. Take it to the Lord. Seek counsel from other people. Where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and we've seen fear of the Lord many times. The fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of wisdom. That's that vertical plane that everything rides on. Depart from evil or shun evil. Stay away from it. What happens when you run with people that are evil or wicked? What happens? You fall into it. You go down the same path, and it results in death and destruction. But what's the benefit here? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. The benefits in verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Is there spiritual blessing in following the Lord? Yes. Is there physical blessing? Are there physical ailments that come as a result of not trusting the Lord? At times there is, right? I mean, ulcers, high blood pressure, heart issues. And there's physical things that affect us when we lean on our own understanding, when we don't trust the Lord. So there is health to the flesh. There is strength to the bones. And we have better health when we trust in the Lord. Departing from evil, living a life of sin can result in a lot of health issues. And so trusting in the Lord and avoiding evil, there's physical benefits. Here's another benefit. Command number 5. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. The command here of first fruits. You go back to the Old Testament. Exodus 22, Deuteronomy 18. So the Israelites were to plant their crops. And then the first fruits, the first of the harvest, was to go to God. That's the first fruits. God wasn't to get the leftovers. So they weren't to go out and harvest their crop and then at the tail end, okay, oh, I have this left, I'll give it to God. They were to give him the first fruits. And so the command here again, honor the Lord with your possessions. How often do we say, this is mine? My truck, my car, my camper, my... Whose is it, ultimately? As a believer, whose is it? Do we honor him with the first fruits? Do we honor him with our possessions? And you can say, well, I worked for it, and praise the Lord, we're supposed to work, but who gave you life and breath? Who gave you the ability to go to work and to do that? Who gave you that gray matter between your ears? God did, right? And so we're to honor him with our possessions, not with the leftovers. And you go back, so they're to honor the Lord with the first fruits when harvest came. Go back to the Old Testament, and there's this principle of tithing, giving 10%. What's the New Testament principle? It's grace giving, right? You go back and you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, and grace giving may be more or less than 10%, but 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8 says this, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." So in reality, doesn't God own it all anyhow? And what we have that we say is mine, whose is it? Right? And so when I come over, Dan, and I say I want to borrow God's sawmill, the answer is just, yeah, and it's God's, right? No, we do have stewardship over what God gave us. I'm not going to do that, Dan. I should try it, though, and see what happens. Yeah, right. But God gave us stewardship of what we have, and we're to take care of it. But ultimately, it's His. I've shared this story before. I had a skid steer, and I borrowed it out, and I find out that, and this person was going to plow their driveway, and it turned out they went back in a swamp, tipped it over. They had a guy coming out, and they drug it out with a backhoe, and this thing came back beat up, and he didn't tell me all this. I was upset. So I was telling Rick Mickish, who was my neighbor, now he's the missionary in Canada that's coming next week, but he wrecked my Bobcat. You know, I'm I'm mad. And I'm going off, and Rick says, well, it's God's bobcat. And how am I going to argue with that? But then I think the guy should take care of God's bobcat, right? But the point is what we have is God's, and we're to use it for His glory. We're to use it for His honor. And as we honor the Lord with our possessions by giving generously and by expressing gratitude for everything He gives, are we thankful for what He's given to us? And are we using it for His glory? As I was thinking of this, I'll get to that here. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Benefit here is your barns will be full and your vats will overflow. So, are we talking about a prosperity gospel? If I give to the Lord, I'm going to be rich. That's not true. I mean, it's not a prosperity gospel. Okay, that's not what this is talking about. Now, is there blessing in giving generously? Absolutely. But it's not a prosperity gospel. That's not what we're talking about here. The result of faithfully using your possessions for God's glory, of giving generously, it's not the prosperity gospel, but you look at this principle, Proverbs 24:25, the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. God isn't some kind of pyramid scheme that if I give, I'm going to get more. It's not a prosperity gospel. But how many here have actually experienced blessing from God as you've used your possessions for His glory? Could anybody, we're not going to take the time, but could anybody here give testimony to that? None of us here are, I don't think any of us are wealthy, really, really wealthy. But we've experienced blessings that come from God as a result of using our possessions and giving to God's work. So it's not a prosperity gospel. But here, really, the challenge here is for us to use our time, our resources, and our talents for the Lord. This guy that found the treasure, Forrest Fenn's treasure, what's going to happen to that? Okay, he sold that, all the contents, $1.3 million, that someone else has that. He got the money for it, but what's going to happen to that money? It's gone. Taxes. Yeah. And then it's gone, right? You can't take it with you. Shared at funerals. I've never seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul, and it just doesn't happen. You don't take it with you. So it's gone. But when you invest in three things, God, the Word of God, and souls of men, you invest in eternity, right? That lasts forever. And so that investment, it pays eternal dividends. And so we don't give to get, but the reality is there is blessing when we use our resources for God's work and for His glory. When I was going through this, I was thinking of my dad. My dad worked at the paper mill for 30 years. We lived on a small hobby farm out on Pincherry Road. We always had some cows, some horses. Not sure why we had horses, but we did. But we didn't have a lot. I mean, we didn't have need, but we didn't have a lot. Dad put four of us in the Christian school, and that took some money. Never drove a new truck. A couple years before he died, he said, "Steve, I'm thinking of getting a new vehicle. What do you think?" I said, "Yeah, do that." He said, "But I don't need it." But he didn't get it. He never got the new vehicle. But I went back as a power of attorney and his health care directive. I end up taking over the finances. And Dad always gave generously to the Lord's work. And we never had need. And we always had We never went without. We had meals, we had clothes on our back, and we were well cared for. But that we were always blessed. And so nothing wrong with having a new vehicle if it's a Ford, if it's a Chevy. But there's, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having something new, but are we giving of our resources to God? Are we using our stuff for His glory? There's a benefit. There is blessing when we give the first fruits to the Lord. There is a blessing when we use our possessions for His work. And again, we could go around and hear testimonies of that. I know we could probably go on for hours and hear that. I've heard it from some of you. And so there's blessing in this. Next command, number 6, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. The benefit is this: you're a son. I've never spanked the neighbor's kids. Felt like it, but never did, because they weren't my children. If we experience God's correction, God's chastening, He's dealing with us as sons. And that's the blessing, because God is shaping and molding us into the image of His Son. I got 10 minutes here, so I'm going to move ahead a little quickly. So the benefits and value of wisdom, so verse 13 through 20. So we see these commands and benefits, verses 1 through 12. And then in verse 13, it's going to give some more benefits here as we look at this. We're given more benefits, the value of wisdom. It says, happy is the man, or blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And again, this is wisdom that comes from God. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her grain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. This wisdom that comes from God is far more valuable than silver, than gold, than fine jewelry. It can't compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom. This wisdom that we're pursuing is the same wisdom here. Look at verse 19. The Lord by wisdom, the same wisdom we're pursuing, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. This wisdom that we are pursuing in God's Word is the same wisdom that God fashioned this world and He hung the stars on nothing. That's great wisdom, isn't it? That's great understanding. This is the kind of wisdom that we're to pursue. And so wisdom that comes from God brings peace. It brings security. It brings contentment. Wisdom that comes from God brings the good life. Again, we could go around and hear testimonies, but how many here have experienced a life of peace and security because of following God's Word? Anybody? Have you experienced that? What's the opposite of that? When you don't do that, life is... it is bad. You don't have that peace. You don't have that security. You don't have that comfort. It's the good life. This wisdom that we're to pursue is the wisdom of the Lord. It's far more valuable than any earthly treasure that we could pursue. Command number 7, do not let them depart from your eyes, this wisdom that comes from God. Do not let them depart from your eyes, and keep sound wisdom and discretion. Verse 21, in other words, give diligent attention to the Father's instructions and do not overlook a single detail. Pursue it with all your heart. These people that pursued Forrest Fenn's treasure, pursued it 5 of them died pursuing this treasure. Pursue it with all your heart, with all your being. Pursue that wisdom that comes from God. It is so valuable. Don't overlook it. Give diligent attention to it. What's the benefit? It will be life to your soul. You'll have abundant life. Matt Lemon lived 19 years on this earth, but he had an abundant life because he pursued the wisdom that came from God. It will be grace to your neck. It will be like an attractive ornament about your neck. And this ties in somewhat with having a good reputation. They'll wonder about the reason, the hope that's within you. You will not stumble. You won't be afraid. Why? Because you have security. Evildoers have to look over their shoulders often. And they have to sleep with one eye open, so to speak. Isn't it nice to go to bed and just having a clear conscience and peace of mind? Evildoers don't have that. They don't have security. They don't have a peace of mind. They don't have a clear conscience. You'll sleep well. You won't have anxiety and guilt. And the Lord will be your confidence. The so what here, the application. I think in your bulletin you have a blank. The first word is if. If you forget not God's law and keep His commandments. If you trust the Lord, fear the Lord, and honor the Lord. If you despise not His chastening. If you do not let God's wisdom depart from you, then you'll enjoy the good life. It's not a life without trials and struggles, but it is a life of peace and security and contentment. It is the abundant life. It is a good life to pursue God's wisdom, to take His word as truth and apply it to our lives. That's the good life, isn't it? I've tried the other path, and it is not the good life. An accumulation of material things isn't necessarily the good life. But pursuing God's wisdom, accepting it as truth, applying it to your life, and living it out is the good life. Are you pursuing the wisdom that comes from God? It is far more valuable than silver, gold, or any other earthly riches that you can imagine. Pursue this. It's truth, isn't it? Pursue it and apply it to your life. Live it out and reap the benefits of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word, these Proverbs that we're going through. I just pray that each one of us would see the value of your word, reading it, memorizing it, applying it to our lives, living it out. Lord, your word is truth. And the result of doing this is the abundant life, the good life. Perhaps there's some here today that haven't departed from evil. They have, you know, maybe a nod to you once a week. They're not in your word. And frankly, each one of us, and it's a daily decision. I look at my own life, even over the last month, 2 months, year, and there's days where not in your word or applying it the way that we should, and we get off track. And so, Lord, I just pray that our focus, our attention would be on you and your word, and that we would just be people that would apply this wisdom to our lives. Lord, I thank you that these benefits are true. And so as we walk out these doors, may you be exalted in our response to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.